Let me give you this thought. The cost of decision, listen to me closely, to run from God. The costly decision to run from God. Last night at our reunion, number 45, there was a whole list on the board of people in memory. All the people that's died in our class in the 45 years we've been out of school. I couldn't hardly believe that some of my very closest friends when I was in school are gone, and I didn't know it. Some of them died an early death because of running from God. I was telling some of my men this morning that our generation, though, is different than the generation of today. That generation started that meal with a word of prayer. They all talked about God. And many of my classmates, it's exciting and encouraging. Three or four of them are preachers just like myself. Some of them are missionaries. But so many of them are going to church. And so many of them have been married for 35 to 40 years. We sat across the table from one of the fellows in my class, John Dodge, who was a little ornery, I thought, when he was in school. He'd been married to the same woman for 42 years or something like that. And he looked at me and he said, you know, what's wrong with this generation that they can't live by commitment? He said, it's totally different than when we were in school. And he's exactly right. But what about us this morning? The costly decision to run from God. Many people run from God, of course, to drugs or to alcohol or to illicit behavior. Some lose themselves in work. Some lose themselves in social activities or either other kind of distractions. We try to avoid guilt by filling our lives with activity or perhaps even entertainment. I've got to avoid guilt, so I've got to keep myself busy so I can't think about all the stuff that I've not done properly. So I keep myself really busy, 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 busy to keep away from the guilt or keep myself running from one entertainment activity to another. But anytime you and I disobey the Lord's specific instructions to us, we are running from God. The story of Jonah illustrates what happens or what can happen when we disobey the Lord. The prophet lived and ministered in Israel about 793 to 753 B.C. In fact, I want you to get your Bibles or look on the screen at two verses of Scripture. One's in 2 Kings, please. 2 Kings chapter 14, verse 25. He restored the coast of Israel from the entering of Hamath under the sea of the plain, according to the word of the Lord, God of Israel, which he spake by the hand of the servant Jonah, the son of Amittai. You see, Jonah was a very important man. Now, I want you to know something, that it's not only the ungodly sinner that runs from God. Can I get an amen there? It's not just the sinner man that runs from God. Right away, as I begin a message like this, everybody is saying, well, the preacher is about to hit those sinners in our church who are running from God. No, I'm talking also to Christians who run from God, because Jonah was a preacher. He was a man of God. He was a born-again believer, but yet he was running from God. I know right now there's a lot of folks in this auditorium that have run from God from certain areas of your life that God has wanted you to be a part of or wanted you to do, but you're running from God. You're saved, born again, but you're still running from God. You're trying to make your life count. You're trying to make your life work out without God. Ladies and gentlemen, you'll never work out your life without God. Everybody needs to understand there is a God in heaven, and in order for me to be properly fit for the kingdom of heaven, I've got to live for God today. And things in your life will work out. They will. Go with me to Matthew chapter 12, verse 38. I'm sorry. Then certain of the scribes of the Pharisees answered, saying, Master, we would see a sign from thee. But he answered and said unto them, An evil and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign. And there shall no sign be given to it, but the sign of the prophet Jonas. For as Jonas was 3 days and three nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Those two passages, his story teaches us a powerful lesson about the purpose and plan of God. Even if we dislike what the Lord commands us to do, we are foolish to run from God. Even if we don't like the command he asks us to do, ladies and gentlemen, listen to me very closely, we are so foolish to run from God. I want to do some principle studies here this morning. Roman numeral number two in my notes, God will never withdraw or change his command simply because we are unwilling to obey it. Now get this down in your mind. God will never withdraw or change his command simply because we are unwilling to obey it. The Lord commanded Jonah to preach to the city of Nineveh and call its inhabitants to repentance. In Jonah chapter 1, verse number 2, let's look at that verse. Arise, God says, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. It was a town full of ruthless, wicked warriors who were greatly feared by the people of Israel. It was a city that was ruthless and wicked, and the people of God were so fearful of these people. Jonah knew that the Lord was a merciful God, though. And you and I know that God is a merciful God. And here's this wicked city of ruthless, wicked warriors. And the citizens needed to repent. But honestly, Jonah did not want them to repent. He didn't want them to get saved. They were wicked enemies of theirs. And Jonah wanted them to be dead. He didn't want to go and preach. He knew that the Lord was merciful and that if the citizens of Nineveh repented, God would never destroy them. The Bible says that the prophet, listen to this, would have preferred to see God annihilate that city. Therefore, what did he do? He ran from the presence of the Lord. Now, he's a godly man. He knows what's truth. He knows exactly what's real, but he's running from God. Now, he wanted that whole city to be destroyed because they were the enemies of his people. He runs from God. But God's grace, God's command to preach remained unchanged. You might say, well, I don't hear the Lord speak to me like Jonah did. If you don't hear God speaking to you in a voice somehow through the Word of God, you need to ask him to speak to you in a way that you can understand him. God speaks to us through this book. And you need somehow to say, God, show me what you're trying to say in this book. Let me see it. I want you to speak to me. I want you to talk to me. And God will. God communicates to us through his word, through our conscience, and through the Holy Spirit dealing with us. And then once you know what he wants you to do, you need to obey immediately and completely. Partial obedience is really, in fact, disobedience. Jonah did not want those people saved. Jonah did not want to see those people come to God. They were ruthless, wicked warriors, enemies of his people, and Jonah himself wanted to see them dead. So he runs. Roman numeral 3, it is impossible. You listen to what I'm going to say here. It's impossible for believers to run from God successfully. Now, if you're here and you're not saved, you may run for years from God, but yet you're going to be held accountable. But if you're here and you are saved and you are born again and you're running from God, something God wants you to do, something God wants you to be a part of, but you're running. Boy, there's a lot of people today running from God, running from a job in the church to do for God, running because I can't give my tithes and offerings to God. Listen, how do you suppose God supports his kingdom? It's through what's called tithes and offerings. And if you never, ever give anything to God through tithes and offerings, you are never supporting the work and the ministry of Almighty God. Are we running from that? We have missionaries. We're getting ready to start a missions conference. And that missions conference is so important. But we must give money to missionaries so they can do their work. But if you say, well, I like missions, but preacher, I don't have any money to give to missions. And how is God going to get the money for the missions? if everybody felt like you feel? Ladies and gentlemen, who's running from God this morning? Maybe there's a task. Maybe there's an idea. Maybe there's a job. Maybe it's involving money. Maybe it's involving your presence. But you keep running from God. You will not come back on a Sunday night. You will not come back on a Wednesday night. You can't get committed. Why are you running from God? I'll tell you again, it is impossible, I believe, for believers to run from God successfully. In Psalm 139, if you'll go to Psalm 139, verse number 7, please. David writes this, "Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence?" Where could I go? Well, I know a lot of people don't think there is a God anytime, but there is a God. There is a mighty God, and you're never going to flee his presence. Eventually, Jonah concludes that no one can escape from God but him. Evidently, he tries anyway. He took a ship to flee to Tarshish, chapter 1, verse number 3 of the book of Jonah. And look what it says, "But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish." Look at what it says, "from the presence of the Lord." Can anybody flee from the presence of the Lord? There is no place you can go, but evidently he thought maybe he could. Do you know, ladies and gentlemen, there's folks under the sound of my voice this morning, whether by radio or right here in this auditorium, who think somehow I can flee the presence of God, or I can do whatever I want to do and God will never hold me accountable. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you, you're wrong. God's going to hold everybody accountable for what we're doing and how we're acting and what we're doing in our lives. So here this man gets up and he's trying to flee from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa, found a ship going to Tarshish. He paid the fare. He even paid the fare thereof. Sometimes you'll pay the fare for leaving the presence of God or trying to leave the presence of God. The Bible said he paid the fare. The prophet headed in the opposite direction from Nineveh. Then, of course, as you know, God caused a fierce storm that threatened to sink the boat that Jonah traveled in. So he told the sailors, what did he tell the sailors in verse number 12? "Cast me overboard. Cast me into the sea. If you want to survive." And he said to them, "Take me up and cast me forth into the sea. So shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know," listen, everybody who tries to run from God, everybody who tries to run from God, as soon as a tragedy strikes or something comes, you'll say, "I know I shouldn't have done this. I goofed up my life." I don't know how many people we got to see last evening. Some of them have messed up their lives. Some of them are very sick. Sam Hawkins, I want you to remember that name to the Lord. Sam Hawkins is a wonderful guy. He couldn't be there because he's so very sick. My same age, but he's so very sick. Some of my best buddies lost their wives already. Ladies and gentlemen, you cannot run from the presence of God. At this point, the prophet says, "Cast me into the sea. For I know that for my sake, this great tempest is upon me and upon you." I know, he says. After they threw Jonah overboard, he was swallowed by what the Bible calls a great fish. CJ was saying that they went down to a youth rally down in Columbus. And the preacher down there is Brother Kenny Baldwin. And he's a black boy. And he was talking about putting his fish lips on when the fish came after Jonah. Because God said, "Mr. Whale," or "Mr. Great Fish, come here." And he put his fish lips on. He's talking to the big fish he created. He said, "I have a servant that needs some attention. Now he's going to be cast into the sea shortly, and I want you to swallow him up." And the fish said, "Okie dokie." And over he went, and the fish swallowed him up and gulped him down. Ladies and gentlemen, if you are already a believer, let me warn you one more time, you cannot run from God. One of the young ladies that was there, her sister had married my Uncle Lloyd. We got to talking about Uncle Lloyd, and I said that he had died. But I said, "You know, Earlene, what was so neat about my uncle before he died We have always stood for the truth. And he asked to see me before he died because he didn't want to go to hell. He wanted to figure out how to go to heaven. He had been an alcoholic. He had been a drinker all of his life. I told you the story already not too long ago. But he was lying in his bed with his big belly sticking up because he had cancer. And he was all swollen. And he was dying. And he knew he was dying. He didn't know how much time he had left. And I walked in. And he said to me, "Oh, Jimmy, I'm so glad you're here. Please show me how to know God. I don't want to die and go to hell. And I'm so sorry I've lived this way." I led him to the Lord that day. He trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. And my Aunt Martha said, from that day forward, everybody who came into his room, in his house, he didn't die in the hospital, he died in his house, but every day, anybody walked in, all of his kids, all of his friends, all of his neighbors, he would say, "Listen, if you've never been saved, you need to get saved. And if you need somebody to talk to, I'll get you hooked up with Jimmy Lewis. He can talk to you about getting saved and knowing God. You need to get saved." He only lived about 3 weeks. He thought he was going to live about 3, 4, 5 months, but he only lived 3 weeks, and he died. But Earlene's sister had been a wife to him, and she said, "Oh, that's wonderful. You mean Lloyd was saved?" I said, "Yes." She said, "Oh, my sister's going to be so thrilled." That was her first husband. She's going to be so thrilled to know that he's saved. Kay is now 80. But ladies and gentlemen, there is a possibility of you being saved. But you cannot run from God. You cannot. They threw him overboard. The fish swallowed him. In the belly of that great fish, Jonah chapter 2, verses 1 through 9, somehow the prophet declared his willingness to obey the Lord. Take a look at chapter 2, 1 through 9. I'm not going to necessarily put it on the screen, but you just need to kind of see that. Chapter 2, 1 through 9. How do believers attempt to run from God? Wow, well, there's all kinds of ways, folks, that we think we can run from God. But God knows it all. God sees everything. Ultimately, they seek what pleases them rather than what the Lord desires for them. A man might ignore wise counsel about a woman he's about to marry. Maybe you shouldn't marry that woman. Or maybe you shouldn't marry that man. And we ignore it. We date anyway. And we marry anyway out of God's will. Our parents. Parents might fail to discipline their children as the Bible commands. In time, these people will experience the consequences of their rebellion against God. And that is rebellion against God. Moms and dads, do you know that you have an obligation and responsibility before God to discipline your children? And if you do not discipline them, that's rebellion against God yourself. You cannot run from God. Number four, running from God results in painful circumstances. The greater the call on your life, the more guilt you'll feel when you choose to disobey and try to run from God. I believe Jonah immediately felt uncomfortable after he made the decision to rebel against God. I believe he did. And I believe all of us, I believe every single one of us know when we rebel against God. I think everybody here knows when we do not do what God wants us to do. And we try to ignore it. As long as nothing happens, we ignore it. And we think it's all going to go away. It's never going to go away. Running from God results in painful circumstances. Go to Jonah chapter 1, verse number 12. Ultimately, he was willing to commit suicide. And he said unto them, "Take me up and cast before them the sea. So shall the sea be calm unto you, for I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you." Rebellion against the Lord always results in loss of some kind. We may lose abilities. We may lose time. We may lose money. Or we may lose relationships. But rebelling against God always will cost us something. Always. Number five, Roman numeral five, when you run from the Lord, your disobedience brings pain and loss to others. Now listen closely, please. Jonah's disobedience cost the sailors their cargo, and therefore their profit from the voyage. He also endangered their lives in the storm. People like to think somehow that they can sin in isolation, that no one else will be hurt. But ladies and gentlemen, when we rebel against the Lord, others are always affected. I don't care who you are this morning, you're here on the sound of my voice. If we rebel against God and sin against God and do our own thing, others in our family, our friends, our lives, our relationships are going to suffer. You do not sin in isolation. And when we sin, it affects others. It affected those sailors on that boat. The sailors on that boat had no idea when Jonah boarded that boat that he was running from God. They had no idea that they would lose all their cargo and all their profits and maybe even have their own lives in grave danger. They did not realize that. And so often is the case when we are running from God, rebelling against God, there's other members of our family that's going to suffer very, very gravely because we have rebelled. We don't need to live like that. When you run from the Lord, your disobedience brings pain and loss to others. Sin is very selfish by nature, isn't it? It asks, what is best for me? With no thought of the needs of others. Wrong choices always, always, always have wrong consequences. When we don't experience them immediately, it's because the Lord is patient with us. We've not gotten by with anything. He's just patient with us. He desires us to repent and return to Him, obeying Him before He has to have anything happen to get our attention. But ladies and gentlemen, let me warn you again this morning, if you're running from God, God someday will get your attention. And please, please don't think, well, nothing's happened for 20 years. God's timing is completely different than our timing. And He will get your attention. But when it happens, that painful loss will not only affect you, it will affect so many others around you. Don't do those things. Number six, the Father's grace often provides a second chance. Boy, I like that second chance stuff, don't you? I kind of like God because He not only gives us a second chance, many times He gives us a third chance and a fourth chance, sometimes a fifth chance. But sometimes you don't get any second chance. Where are you at today? One more time. Father's grace often provides a second chance. However, we don't always have a second chance. Because some of the Lord's commands are, I think, time sensitive. After the sea creature deposited Jonah on the land, the prophet chose to obey God's instructions. You'll find that in Jonah chapter 3. Follow me, please, verses 1 through 3. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. God didn't change His command at all. He said the same thing. I want you to go preach to Nineveh. Jonah ran. Some of us are trying to run. Well, I can't work in church. I can't do RU. I can't do Sunday school. I can't do choir. I can't do this. I can't do that. I'm running. What are you running from? Get involved in a good church like this. Get involved in the Golden Apples. Get involved in the choir. Get involved in the soul winning ministries. Get involved. Don't run from God. God will get your attention. It's not always pleasant. Well, I just kind of pulling away from this and pulling away from that. Why? It's exactly what Jonah did. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey, but Jonah went. People of Nineveh responded, by the way, to the divine warning and turned from their evil ways, and the Lord did not destroy the city. Jonah had kind of hoped, I think, that God's judgment would fall on the city, that wicked place. But when nothing happened, do you know what the prophet of God did? He was very angry. Now listen to me. Go to Jonah chapter 4. You won't believe this. When nothing happened, the prophet was so angry and depressed that he asked the Lord to take his own life. But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. Here's a man of God who is so upset because all these people got saved. The whole city turned to God. And God didn't destroy them. And Jonah was upset. And the Bible says it right there. He was very angry. Jonah was angry at God moving, at God saving people, at God delivering people. And here's a man. He's much like us. I get so upset. And he really got upset because people got saved. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before unto Tarshish. For I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repentest thee of the evil. Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me. For it is better for me to die than to live. Jonah said, just take me out, God. I don't like what you've done. Wow. Then the Lord asked him, do you do well to be angry? Doest thou well to be angry? Notice that God used the prophet to speak to the city despite his attitude. He isn't looking, ladies and gentlemen, for perfect attitude people or perfect men and women. God is looking for those who are available to serve. Are you this morning available to God to serve? Don't use any more excuses. Don't run from God. God wants you to do something for him. I'm done with this statement, number 7, please, in my notes. Running from God can have disastrous eternal consequences. What does Galatians chapter 6, verse 7 and 8 say, by the way? The scripture says that we reap what we sow. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of his flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Don't you let the devil lie to you another moment. If you're running from God from a certain thing in your life, you change it this morning. You change that. The cost of decision to run from God. The person runs from the Lord by choosing not to believe in Jesus, they risk eternal separation from Jesus Christ. I pray that you'll turn to Christ. Ask him to forgive you of your sins. Surrender to the Lord this morning, and God will do some awesome work through your life. But you're here and you're already saved. You already know this story. But yet, for some reason in your life, you're running from God. Why, you know you ought to be a tither. You know you ought to be a giver to missions. You know you ought to be a giver to the radio station. You know you ought to be at church services. You know you ought to be praying. You know you ought to be studying. You know you should be dedicated and faithful. But we're running. Why? Let me remind you one more time. If Jonah was a man of God, and he was, and he ran because he didn't want it to go God's way, if you're running from God, God will get your attention just like he got Jonah's. It may not be a big fish. It may not be a prepared fish. But it will be something that God will prepare. Ladies are coming in and I'm closing. The book of Jonah teaches us that God commands, his commands do not change. His commands never change because we try to run from his commands. The Lord is everywhere, and no one can be entirely successful by avoiding his presence. When you and I rebel against the Father's plans for us, ladies and gentlemen, we bring pain and loss upon ourselves as well as others about us. Oh, how we need God's help this morning. Eventually, we'll reap what we sow. And ladies and gentlemen, disobedience has a price. And we will someday reap what we sow. You say, preacher, but I'm doing just great. I know. But you may not be 58 or 60 or 65. And you may not be sick yet. You may not be in a fish's belly yet. But God will get your attention. the costly decision to run from God. The good news is that God often gives us a second chance. How many of you are thankful for a second chance? So often, Brother Wolf, God gives us a second chance. And sometimes it's more chances than that. Thank the Lord. That's the good news. The Lord operates through imperfect people who are willing to be used. And so I'm wondering this morning, as you're sitting there thinking, have you been running from God in some area of your life? If so, return to God. Right now, return to Him. There's an area I've been running from, and I've not been doing it right, preacher. Run to the Father. Let the Father have complete control over your life. I believe that the Father enjoys working with people who are available and who have a desire to do something for Him. Are you available this morning? Do you have a desire to do something for Him? Wouldn't you like God to say, this is my Son, whom I'm well pleased? Enter in, thou good and faithful servant. Let's stop the running. Let's start learning what God really wants. Let's come to Him. Let's stand together, please.